And I speak to you in God's holy name, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer. Amen. Please be seated. In all the wind, it managed to blow away my little sheet. I don't know what I did with it. Not my sermon. Ah, here it is. Listen to the collect again from this morning. And let's hear what we're praying. Judge eternal, you love justice and hate oppression. Give us courage to stand with all victims of bloodshed and greed. And give us fire to proclaim your burning gospel for the sake of Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Amen. Give us fire to proclaim your burning gospel. Courage to stand. Oftentimes when we hear the gospel from Luke today, this very gospel is often used to do what is often called in psychological terms, inoculating. People who are being led into cults are often shown this gospel and said, when your family doesn't like what we're saying and you are joining us and you are leaving your family, remember Jesus said you're going to have to do that. And they would then be asked to memorize Luke 12:49-56. So that they would be, in a sense, inoculated from criticism. I've seen it oftentimes with the Jehovah's Witness, but I've seen it also when I did college and university ministry, that the number one place to recruit from cults would be in the universities, and the cult leaders would use this as a part of their seduction of young people into following a strange way of belief and have them leave their family system of values. Can be very scary. And similar verses are used in radicalization of people, and they are seduced into leaving the family way of doing things. I'll just remember you to, again, what John just read to us. I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. You think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. You can see how those words would be resonant in the head of somebody when they got criticized by mom and dad, or brothers and sisters, or family members, or neighbors, when they left the beaten path and went somewhere else. How that would be so internally feeling good inside. I'm being persecuted for what I now believe, just like Jesus said. But that's a distortion of the meaning of this gospel. We have to think back to the time in which the gospel was presented, in which Jesus shared these words. It was in the midst of the time of the Roman Empire. And the Roman Empire's way to have peace was to destroy all the enemies. You would find your enemies, you would kill them, and then you'd bring peace. And that was the established way. And mom and dad and fathers knows best and everything else all thought this is the way it should be. The government hacks out everybody else, and we, on the top of all the blood, we find peace. We have some of that same thought in our own world today. But Jesus' way was radically different than the way of the society in which Jesus was living and ministering and teaching. For Jesus' way was to bring love, forgiveness, compassion, to stand up for values of those who were oppressed, to be with widows and orphans, to stand with those who were frail. That is what Jesus is talking about here. And why I opened by rereading the gospel of the colic for today was that we have to remember that this is what it's about. We here are called to stand for social justice. We here are called by Jesus to stand with the oppressed, the poor, the marginalized, the unemployed, the disabled, the immigrant, the people of color, people who often feel marginalized. It's a call to us that God's love and the love of Christ is extended to all, and we are called to bring everybody together in peace, for that is the reflection of the kingdom of heaven. We are to be a place of inclusion, not exclusion, of love and compassion, of reconciliation. Now that's a challenge. I can remember hearing these words and feeling this call when I was a very young man. I was 19 or 20. And I came back home from going to university. And I remember that first summer. And there were the stirrings of a thought that we should be starting to think about gay and lesbian people as being equal, and they should be included. And I can remember in my own home mentioning this idea to my father. And my father, who was a very committed Christian, he was a lay reader in the Diocese of Montreal. He would go out Sunday by Sunday and take church services. And when I mentioned this, he erupted. His name was Robert. It was the Mount Robert volcano. And Mount Robert really blew his stack. And I've seen him blow his stack before, but this one was big. And he was screaming at me, "No son of mine should be saying this. What are you doing? You should wash your mouth out with soap." And he was yelling, and he was screaming, he was pounding the table. And I'm going, "Holy cow, I should have stayed at Acadia. Why did I come home?" But he was really angry. And I said, "Dad, all I'm trying to do is really read the gospel. I've gone around with you for years, listening to you preach the gospel Sunday by Sunday in these little far-flung churches around eastern Quebec, which don't have any clergymen. I would go out with them and we'd do maybe 7 services in a day and hear the same sermon 7 times. By the last 3 services, I was counting the flies on the window." I said, I'm just trying to say we have to have a bigger vision. So we have to be prepared that our loved ones may not understand it when we have a vision of inclusion that goes further than what is the norm. See, we live in a society where there is a vanilla norm. There are still folks who want to believe that Father knows best. There are still folks that believe that Leave It to Beaver is the norm and that Lassie's a good family. But I know from my years of working in corrections that the family can either be the most wonderful place in the world or it can be very, very dangerous. And what we have to do is become real. And we have to see in ourselves that we are called as Christian people to proclaim justice, the justice of Jesus. And the justice of Jesus includes caring, inclusion, taking risks for the marginalized, being just in everything we do, knowing our ethic and willing to stand up for it, even when we're the only one in the room doing so. I can remember one time when I was at a parish in Calgary. I was the chaplain at Bowden Institution, which is near Red Deer. And I preached a sermon not this sermon, but similar about this idea of inclusion and restoration, and that we had to recognize that prisoners were coming back to society, and we had to welcome people in a way, not stupidly, but with respect and with boundaries, but still make sure they were included. After the church service, it was a big church in Calgary, two leading laymen met me at the doors. I went down the back to shake the hands of the people coming out. And one man grabbed one arm and one man grabbed the other and walked me out into the parking lot and said, "You won't be meeting the people today. We're not going to let you." And I went out to the middle of the parking lot. I said, "Boys, thanks for the walk." Turned around and went back to the front door. I wasn't going to take that. But it was symbolic to me of where they were at. I don't judge them. I haven't named the church. I don't judge them. But it was interesting. You have to be prepared as a Christian to know what your ethic is and why, and then to stand with it. And if it is based in love, in caring, and in living the gospel of Jesus Christ, then we are going to be, in the terms of the Old Testament reading today from Isaiah, we will be the good grapes in that vineyard, not the rotten grapes that don't bear fruit. God will not tear us out. God wants us to be strong, firm, and living the values that bring life to others as well as to ourselves. And so today, as we receive the sacrament, I invite us to reflect upon our own ethical stance about life and to be prepared to stand for our ethic. And know that not everybody is going to always agree with us. And that's okay. And we can disagree with others so long as we do it in love and respect and charity. We are called to be the people who are the people of the resurrection, the Easter people. And I pray that we may have the strength to always walk firmly as a part of the community of faith, following Jesus our Savior. Amen.